So we are encouraged to think on whatsoever things are true. And we move today to think on whatsoever things are honest. Now, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he helps us in meditation. And this verse is a glorious verse because it is so generalized. Whatsoever things. You may allow your thoughts to range on whatever aspect of honesty pleases you. You may think about honesty as distinct from lying. You may think of honesty as being a firm commitment. You may think of honesty as being perspicuous through and through. You're at liberty to think exactly how you like to think, as the Spirit guides you. What the Apostle is saying, and the Spirit through him, is constantly think of lovely things. And he has a selection here. He says now, don't worry, be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And here is another way of the peace of God permeating our hearts, of the way that he will grant us peace and happiness and allow our thoughts to be established and settled. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. So here we have a warrant, obviously, for meditating. And we may, of course, meditate biblically. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to take the 10 passages of scriptures that have 10 other passages of scriptures that use the word honest. But you don't have to think just like that. This is my whimsical selection, really. You're entitled to think whatsoever. But it's always good to think biblically. It's always good to use your concordance and just check out the meaning of the words. So what I'm going to do this evening, very, very briefly, is just take you through the 10 other passages that use the word honest in Scripture. And the first of them is in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Clearly, if I'm doing 10 and have 35 and 40 minutes, it's only 4 minutes each. Take away my introduction time. And I'm not going to spend long on any of them. But it may be that the Lord will speak to you. And then when you get home, you'll think to yourself, that thing that was said about one of those texts, I want to think more about that. And really, that's what I'm aiming to do. That if should the Holy Spirit say, yeah, I'd rather like to follow that up, I'll think a bit more about that one, if you can't even think about the others. Now, Luke 8:15 is about the parable of the word of God that's sown on the rock and sown in the thorns, do you remember? But verse 15, that which was sown, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest heart. Now the word in Greek is kalos. It gives us, I think, calligraphy, which means good writing. And it is the word for good, which in its weakest sense would be equivalent to our word nice. I was always taught never to use the word nice in an essay because it really had so little significant meaning. And in the weakest sense of this word, it does just mean nice. At its best, it means fine. Something which is fine, noble. And so, here, That's on the good ground, are they which in a fine. And now you can see how they wanted to translate that on this, can't you? In a fine heart. A heart that's open. A heart that is willing to ponder the things that are good and true and wonderful. However, our translators are not altogether helped. Now you'll see that the word good occurs. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Now there are two words in Greek for good. One of them is this word kalos, and the other is the word agathos, which gives us the name Agatha, which means good, you see. But the confusion comes here. I only just wanted to say it so that you know. But that's on the fine ground, it's the same word as honest, but not the same word as the other good. But that on the fine ground are they which are in a fine and good heart. So that's the same word. They which in the fine ground, the tilled ground, the ground with such lovely tilth and that's been hoed and dealt with year after year after year, now has such a fine constituency. That on the fine ground are they which in a similarly fine heart and a good heart. Good hearted in the other sense. See? But it's this use of the word fine. And actually, this is the word that most of all is translated honest in our Bibles. Usually, that word fine. There are only three different words, I think, which are used by the translators and translated as honest. Now, the next one is Acts 6 and verse 3. Acts 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, you know the scripture, of course, let another praise you, and not you yourself. And these are men who are to have honest report. The word honest does not occur. One word is translated as honest report, and it could literally be translated, look ye out among you seven men witness to. Do you see? What does that mean? Seven men witness to. People are unanimous that these would make good deacons. People have tested their worth. People have seen them in action. Some have benefited from their generosity, their kindness, their preaching. Some have been saved under their ministry. So they're witness to. But the word honest doesn't actually occur. Our translators have chosen to translate being witness to as being men of honest report. But there's nothing actually wrong with that. I just wanted you to know how it came about. And we need to have, don't we, among men, an honest report. They need to speak well of us. They don't need to say, oh, she's a gossip, or she's a critic, or he's impatient, and he's nasty. They need to be able to say, yeah, though we don't agree with the gospel, we can't fault his or her behaviour. That was said of the early Christians. Seven men, then, of honest report. That word is never translated in that way again. It is the word martyr, which means a witness. Of course, a martyr in English means a witness unto death. But men witnessed to. Men reported well. And then, Romans 12:7. Romans 12:7. Sorry, it's 17. recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And it's the word we first met with, fine. Provide fine things. And that's just what it means. All our dealings with people should be to provide them with the finest of the wheat, the finest of the gospel, the finest of our provision, if we're providing things. He's talking about ministering, you see, to one another. And saying that whatever we do to people should be of our best, should be the finest that we can offer, should be the fruit of the wonderful things we've experienced, the cords of love and all the benefits that the Lord has given us, we should now be pouring out upon others. If the Lord has forgiven us, we should be freely forgiving others. So we provide things that are fine in the sight of all men. And then there's 2 Corinthians 8:21, where the same expression is used, and it is the same word, fine. 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In our dealings with others, then, we look to provide fine things for the benefit of those with whom we come in contact. But when the Lord looks down on them, he also must recognize that this is indeed our best. This was indeed the fruit of all his benefits towards us that is now overflowing from us, pressed down and running over and going into the lives of others, providing for honest things, fine things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And then in the same letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. Now, I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobate. There was massive criticism of Paul by the unbelievers, and indeed by some of those who were Jews like he was, but who didn't believe in Christ. And they said he was reprobate, that is to say, fallen away from the faith of Judaism. Now, as a believer in Christ, he fulfilled that faith. But what he's saying here is, they say that I do evil, but you do that which is fine. It's the same word again, same word as we had before. That ye should do that which is fine, even though you've learned from me and everybody says I'm bad. You still do what is good. You still do what is right. With the implication not to turn away from the faith with those who are accusing Paul, but to persist in all the things that are fine because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Just a little longer, perhaps, on this one. It's a longer verse. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, the word conversation has nowadays been limited to talking to to one another. Converse. But that did not used to be the case. And the word that is translated conversation here means the way we turn our lives, the way our lives revolve. And in fact, is best translated lifestyle, or worldview, or life, the thing that animates our whole approach, which of course is the Saviour, to our life's philosophy, and our whole approach to the whole attitude of everything we do consistently, our master thing. So having, if you like, our lifestyle, and it's this word again, fine. Fine. Having your lifestyle fine among the Gentiles. And you can see that honest is a very good word. Perspicuous, open. They shall see that you're consistent. They shall see that if you did bring any views over from your former way of life, in your maturity you've long since discarded them, seeing that they had to do with the old way and not with the new way. And that if you have natural tendencies, that you have fought them. And you've dealt with them as we deal with all our sins, as best you can, with the help of the Lord, to get rid of them. The leopard cannot change his spots, but in Christ, our spots are blotted out. And we can live as those whose spots are blotted out. So he says, having your lifestyle, it can include what we say, but also how we live, how we transact, the manner in which we speak and deal with people. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may know by the good things you do that you in fact are not what they say you are. You're not evil. And one day when the Lord returns, they shall glorify God. Hopefully they'll be able to do it under good circumstances. But if that day of visitation was the last day and it was too late, then that would not be a good thing for them. But the idea is to keep the gospel before the Gentiles, the unbelievers. Now, perhaps it's the thing that we have most to do in this world, is to live in this world without being of it. It's something we all have to do every day. And therefore, this is the most important verse, that we shall have our conversation honest. But not just honest, fine in every respect, of top quality among the Gentiles. However they react, they have no ground for their reaction. And now in the next two, we come to a word we haven't yet had. And firstly, in Romans 13 and verse 13. Romans 13 and verse 13. Now you'll see that we've now moved away from an adjective to an adverb. Now you know your grammar, that an adjective qualifies a noun. A fine day. But an adverb qualifies a verb. You do something well, or you do something, if you like, finely. Most adverbs in English end in ly. Splendidly, wonderfully, whatever. Okay. So we've now moved on, for just a couple, to adverbs. Let us walk honestly. This is Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let us walk. The word is translated in the margin, as you'll probably see, decently. let us walk decently. But it's not merely moral decency that is meant here. The word here is made up of two words. It's a long word in the Greek. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 letters. And it's a word from which we get our word scheme. Well schemed is what it means. Well schemed. Let us walk, if you like, decently. That is to say, do you remember the passage? Do all things decently and in order. And that's what's meant, orderly. Let us walk orderly. Well schemed. And that will include, of course, all the things mentioned here. That our lifestyle will be such that it isn't in rioting and in drunkenness and in chambering and in wantonness. But it also might mean going to bed early on Saturday night so that we're fit for the Lord's Day on Sunday. The whole thing is well ordered. Because our main thing is to worship and to serve and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything is schemed in order to achieve that first and foremost. That's the meaning here. So the honesty, the openness, the perspicuity has to do with having one centre, single-minded, that goes through everything we do. So let us walk, if you like. Let us walk decently. Let us walk orderly, if you like, not disorderly. But the meaning is everything falls into its proper place. Everything is lined up absolutely spot on. So let us walk in a good scheme of things. And it's the same word that is used in 1 Thessalonians 4:12. 1 Thessalonians 4:12. I'll read verse 11 because we need to get the sense. Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Now we come to 12. That ye may walk honestly, same word, towards them that are without, that's the opposite of within, outside the church, and that ye may have lack of nothing, because you've been working with your own hands, but that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. You might have a non-Christian employer and you might think you could cheat him. Well, that wouldn't be honest. But the aim is to work properly and thoroughly in order that you have lack of nothing. But the way we are towards those that are outside is that we do everything in that same scheme. Honouring the Lord, doing the things that are good, doing the things that are right. Interestingly enough, though in the margin in the other place they said decently, they haven't got a marginal reference here, where it's exactly the same word translated in exactly the same way. Just intriguing how these things happen. But we're commanded to walk honestly, openly, in an above board way. But the word basically means organised in such a way that everything brings glory to the Saviour. So we move on now to our final two, and then I've just got a sort of one to finish with. Hebrews 13 and verse 18. Hebrews 13 and verse 18. You see that most of these come at the end of the letters because these are application, teachings of how we are to live. Again, in adverbs. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Paul asks for prayer, and he says, I have a good conscience, I'm worthy of your prayers, but I need support by your prayers to live honestly. And it's our old friend, the word finally, again. So all except three of our examples have used this word fine. We are willing in all things to live finely. Now you can see how it's honestly, you can see where it could mean above board, you can see how all the meanings dovetail. But I have no doubt in my own mind that a Greek reading this would think of excellence, would think of that which is beautiful, can also mean beautiful, would think of that which is of top quality. That would be the direction of his mind. And so he wouldn't, I think just nice. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live finally, in all things. Part of the maturing delight of the Christian life is that whereas perhaps when we once first believed, we sought to serve the Lord by coming to worship three times a week, and then we began to read our Bibles, and we began to serve and love him and be aware of him twice a day. But maturity means that we're always aware of walking with him. We refer everything to him. Nothing that happens, we don't instantly refer to him before we take action. It's a question of being with him and knowing his love. No, we all fail. We don't do that quite all the time, 24/7. But that's what maturity in Christ leads us to. And so he says, in all things willing to live finely. And then we come to 1 Timothy 2:2. And this, in a way, is different. We've had three different words so far for honest. This one is a fourth, but it is the same as the one of our text. Whatsoever things are honest. And the only other use of the same word is here in 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings, pray for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Whatsoever things are honest. The word is not fine. The word is not well ordered. The world is not of good report. It's a word that is very, very difficult to translate. But I'll give you a modern English word that will get you, call it to mind easily. You know how nowadays we use the word awesome? And this word, whatsoever things, could well be whatsoever things are awesome, or whatsoever things are awe-inspiring, even whatsoever things are awful, in the old sense, meaning full of awe. And that's the word actually in our text. I took you through honest, because in this word, whatsoever things are honest, they've got this word, whatsoever things are creating solemnity, whatsoever things are full of awe in relation to God, whatsoever things are, if you like, make us to feel the sense of deep reverence to God. And that's what it is here in 1 Timothy 2:2. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and full of awe towards God. And that awe towards God will give us a sense of reverence towards king and government and a sense of respect towards other people. It's that angle of coming, of being honest. So to be in all honesty, and whatsoever things are honest, has the slant much more of the things that are awesome, awe-inspiring, that give respect, that give reverence. So there's lots of things we can meditate on. The things that are honest, in the sense that we would think, not lying, open, so things that are fine, things that are, if you like, well-ordered, and things which are full of awe and cause us to act in a way that is respectful and reverential. So I finish with a text that has nothing to do with being honest, inasmuch as it doesn't have the word. But I thought that, just as you may be led on to different texts to think about different things by this teaching, so one thought came into my mind. And it was Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Things that are honest, in the awesome sense, in the fine sense, in the well-ordered sense. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? This is a wonderful way of looking at things. I suppose when we're full of sin, we think, must I repent? Well, I suppose I'd better. But the real proper approach of the Lord is that he overwhelms us with his sheer goodness. And when his Spirit is working in our heart, it's that that drives out the sin, that overwhelms the disobedience, that turns us to the path that keeps us close to him. And I thought that this verse, in my thinking, captured all this. If I'm thinking about things that are honest, here is someone who loves the riches of God's goodness, doesn't despise them, loves the riches of his forbearance, loves the riches of his long-suffering, and understands that these things he can pass on to others, but because it's these things that have brought him to repentance, which is what we desire when we witness to others. This is an honest way. This is an awesome way. This is a well-ordered way. This is a fine way of handling the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives, that we know and have experienced that it was the goodness of God that led us to repentance. And therefore, our response is an honest one, an open one, a well-ordered one, a consistent one, a fine one. Well, may the Lord help us. But I was wanting to show you just that meditation, perhaps with a bit of Bible searching, is recommended in the Scriptures. And it does allow our hearts, under the guidance of the Spirit, to roam where the Lord would lead us. But as I said the other time when I was beginning, this is quiet pastures. This is green pastures. This is still waters. These are things that are lovely. These are things that are